Mind over matter. Overcompensating. Overstatements. Crookedness relating. The soul's churn in return. Mental overstimulation. One word. Riveting. It tethers my pilot. Streams that are promised to make seeking less.
Greetings, and welcome to Poetry Journal Podcast. I am your host, Alex Murder, and we have a special guest here today. She's quite a talent. Her name is Catherine Garrard, singer, harpist, composer, artist. I would say overall creative, but yes, overall creative for sure. Welcome to Poetry Journal Podcast, Miss Catherine. It's great to have you on. Thanks for sharing some of your time with me. How are you?
Thank you for having me, Alex. Happy Valentine's.
Yes, indeed.
I'm great. Very happy to be here. It's working good. Already since very early. How are you doing?
Oh, is it quite early where you are?
No, it's 1 p.m. right now, but I've been active since seven.
I can imagine. No time for sleeping when you've got things to do, right?
Yeah.
Could you tell us a little bit about your creative background?
Yeah, so I always felt that I wanted to be an artist in general. My dad is a painter, so he started teaching me how to draw and things like that. Then in school, I grew up in Peru, and in school, we like to celebrate everything, like Christmas, Mother's Day, Father's Day, Valentine, everything. All the days, special days
and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. We celebrate all of them. So you are always rehearsing for some theater sketch or for dance or a poetry or whatever, singing. So I was always like confronted to the audience in that sense. And I really enjoy it a lot. And I always wanted to learn music and singing, but it was hard at home. We couldn't afford lessons and we lived far away. So after I moved to France and I was living on my own, I decided to start learning self-teaching myself. Yeah. So I found courses on internet, like a platform called Coursera mainly, and then some books, and I just studied very hard. And then when my situation improved, as soon as I was able to to afford lessons, I would get lessons first in singing, then I start harp, and then composition.
And I sense a lot of discipline, a lot of drive behind that. What was it about creating our instruments that captivated you and wanted you to do it? Or it brings you so much joy and brings you alive so much. What was it about that?
I just can say it's just the feeling that that is my purpose, that I was born to do that. And feeling like, you know, when the time seems to freeze when you are doing this and you don't see it passing by, and you are just in that state of flow of being in the present moment. So it brings me back to the now, and that's very important. So it's mainly that, like, I really feel happy when I'm doing those things.
Inspiring. Okay, let me read something, and then I have a few more questions for you. As it goes, concrete dreaming, hard nose and solid at the base, thus they are never fazed by the words that I place. Let the follicles of rhymes be mine, from the outline to the confines, telling from whence I came. Never let the mode be short-lived or tame. Never, for whence was it lame? For I live in the bosom of my dreams. The dreamer knows there is no bounds like the greatest foes. The joker to my runny nose, the dagger to my cloak. Rankings like monuments, thus like a bank robber at times with the rhymes I may tote. My sounds hang in the remote, gifted with the mission thus I express through the cosmic throat. Never contrived, for I've seen the survived. Looking to live, for I've beaten the feelings to merely stay alive. Yeah, that's all I have today. That's all I have to give today. Just a awesome little something because, you know, just there was a certain inspiration behind just reading about you and your creative journey. And I wanted something to kind of illustrate, you know, your experience. And I thought this was something that might do the trick, that you could resonate.
Wow. Well, so this poem, you wrote it?
Yeah. These are all
my
pieces.
That's awesome. So beautiful. Thanks. I think it's the first time someone writes me a poem.
Oh, really? Yeah. It's Valentine's Day, so, you know.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Thank you.
No worries. So, do you have perhaps a favorite instrument?
I tried the guitar, which I like a lot, but I really feel that you need to be addicted to an instrument in order to really go through all the learning process and get it at the high level to it. Because they tend to be hard at some point. Even if they start being easy, the hardship goes up and up, and you need to really love it to stick to it. So I didn't stick much to the guitar, even though sometimes I'm like, I would like to play the guitar now. But not enough, right? Then I had a dream of playing the piano, but again, I couldn't because of those reasons. And later on, I started some lessons, not to be a main instrument anymore, but to have the ability for composing, for, you know, working on the MIDI controller, which is a keyboard. So having some piano skills is good for that. And then, of course, the voice was number one all the time. And then I tried the violin, which I love so much. And I tried the harp. And for some reason, I chose the harp first. And then I said, when I get to a decent level on the harp, I can start with the violin. I chose the least portable one to start with.
As you said, music comes, it sounds like it came natural for you. Is it more a conduit, a connection to the music that makes it so easy for you to be like, oh man, this works for me, I like this more than I do the other? Is it more the music that connects you to so many different instruments?
I am crazy about music instruments. I like trying new things, playing. When I find fellow musicians who play other instruments, I like to ask them if I can try, if they can try to teach me something and have the sensation. I also took a couple drum lessons. That's very fun.
Ooh,
as
drum.
Well.
Okay. I like drums.
Yeah, the drums are very fun to play, even when you are just starting out. And it's also very good for your rhythm, which is something that for some reason singers is like our weak point in general, the rhythm. We tend, even great singers who wouldn't miss one single note in tuning, they can't get out of rhythm so easy. And so I also, for composing, I wanted to understand the drums as an instrument to be able to write better drums on MIDI. So that's why I took the lessons, and it was never an instrument that I would be naturally inclined to, But I tried for that reason, like I want to understand it better, and I found it really fun.
Creatively speaking, is there an instrument or craft? Like, for example, you mentioned poetry, you know. So is there an instrument or craft you feel the most fulfilled by when you're connected or when you're in the process of doing?
Well, so the instruments, musical instruments, the ones that get me more in that flow state are voice and harp. And then for crafts, something that is the one thing that truly puts me like in the present moment is drawing. It's like literally there's an absolutely no thinking, no nothing. Everything truly disappears when I'm drawing. Because in the music, it still has a small rational part of it when you are working with the rhythm, with the chords, progressions, etc. So it's more like you are setting your mind to something more productive than just thinking or distracting itself. So the music it's like a different way to bring you back to the present. But when I am drawing, it truly feels like a meditation in the sense that my mind truly turn off, like it's flowing state, picking up the colors, and no thinking. It's absolutely not
you're
even
in a trance. Sounds like you're in a trance.
Yes, that would be the perfect word to describe drawing for me. It's really that.
Yeah, straight auto mode. Like you don't have to think; it just happens by itself. It's just natural. It's automatic.
Yeah, whereas in music, my mind is still awakened, but like focused and working on something that is productive, because our minds tend to go everywhere, distract us and overthink, and it's wasted energy. So I feel like music redirects that energy towards something more meaningful.
Yeah, I can imagine, man. And obviously, you know, and that's clearly an indication that, you know, you're very passionate about what you do when, as you said, in a trance or you lose track of time. It's one of those things that it just happens. You don't have to think about it. And when you truly naturally are connected to like an instrument or like, you know, you're so connected to your craft in a sense, that it just brings the best out of you. You don't have to think about it. I think there's something profound about that, you know. All right, let's switch it up a little bit. What does the ability to dream mean to you?
The ability to dream, like having dreams while you're sleeping, or the dreams of like your vision for your life?
Your visions, or both, because they're both related.
Okay, so the first one, like having dreams like while you're sleeping, I think it's a great tool that we have to communicate with subconscious mind, with also higher, let's call it entities, energies of the universe. And ancient people believed that actually, like, for example, I think it was the Vikings or the Celts, I don't remember, but one of those believed that a person who couldn't remember or didn't dream at all, they were actually sick. So having dreams is it's a proof that you are healthy. Like if you can't remember and you are like, I haven't dreamt anything, there's like a disconnection problem. So when people who have PTSD, for example, sometimes they have like nightmares, right, about the thing that caused the PTSD. And actually psychologists say that's a sign that you're starting to heal, because it means that your mind is able to confront that situation finally within the mind, and it's finally bringing it up, so you can like sort of work with that, reflect on that, and it's like you're starting to accept and integrate that experience. So it's like the first step for healing. So that is so, it speaks volumes to me about how important it is to dream and to practice having a journal. And you can have a journal even if you don't dream, quote unquote. You can just put every morning, I don't remember what I dreamt, I wish I did. So your mind starts thinking, okay, that's important information. So with the days pass, you notice you can actually train remembering your dreams. And for the dream in the sense of vision for your life, I think it's absolutely essential, because having a purpose will direct all your energy, all your days, your planning towards something that is fulfilling. And it's like, we are having a temporary time here, and we don't know if there's gonna be other lives or in other places. Maybe yes, but we are not sure. So why risk it? Like, all we are sure is about now. So having a purpose gives you that thrive to do something. It's like when you go on vacation, let's say we go to Italy, we go to Rome, and it's for 1 week, you are not gonna say, I'm staying in the hotel because we are gonna go back anyways, right? So why even going out and loving the city if we are going to go back? No one says that. No one says that. Everyone wants to go, squeeze all the minutes they can to see all they can, right? And have the best time possible. However, when we are leaving, this is a trip as well. We are coming here. We know we are. We just don't know when, but it's temporary and it's very short. And yet people are like, why even bothering trying this thing that seems impossible? If we are going to die anyway, and the sun will explode in a couple million years. That doesn't mean all that counts is now. Now you can do something. Now you are here on this trip. Yes, you are on a great place called Earth that has amazing things to do and see. And you don't want to get out of your freaking hotel, of your mind, because we are going to die and the trip is going to end anyway.
Yes, I mean, the way I see it is, it's like, if you're going to do anything long term, it's got to mean something to you, doesn't it? And so if it means something to you and you love it, I would say it's like you're in a path now. And for me personally, it's like you're an artist. These are type of people I think you would describe as. One, in one instance, it could be an artist. In the other, it could be somebody that just loves, a career person, but they love what they do. You know, it's not necessarily a job situation, but it's a career because you really love what you do. To do it long term, is there's a certain level of commitment that comes with it. There's the grind, but you love every minute of it. It's almost like the type of, you have issues along the way, of course, but it's the type of things that where issues come, it's the ones that you want to have issues for, because this is what I love, this is what I'm passionate about. And so over time, to do it and accomplish even a day, a year, and beyond that, I think it's you pretty much by default, you create a culture for yourself.
And also, for example, when you meet a girl and you want to her to be your girlfriend, etc., you say, I love you, I want to be with you. So that means you commit to her, right? So where commitment comes from? It comes from love. And so when it's about committing with yourself, it means that you commit with yourself because you love yourself. So the biggest thing that proves that you love yourself is that commitment to your goals, to your vision, to not giving up and doing things even though sometimes you don't feel like it. And it's important to like distinguish things like burnout versus being lazy, for example. I suffer burnout, and I didn't even realize I was having burnout until I saw a video that was explaining what it was, and they say this symptom, this other symptom, and I was like, I didn't know, and I thought I was having a problem of laziness, or why can't I stay disciplined if I know I love music, for example, why I'm not doing music or studying if I know that's what I should be doing. And then I realized, but after, like, I'm not in that state anymore. I just couldn't realize I was in that state. And so when you are going through that, or because I think a lazy person wouldn't even bother having like a goal, although I think that's very rare, like this sense of purpose, I think all of us have it. I think we just try to forget, or we genuinely forget, or I don't know. It's not. I feel that people just don't know how to start, where to start, and okay, let's admit it's a laziness. Even then, if you really want to get something done, there's no problem. Like, there's so many strategies. Rely on others. Have someone to take you, to have you accountable. A trainer. Yeah. Like, for example, I hate exercise. Going to the gym and all, like, I love dancing and I do sports through the dancing, but going to the gym, it's hard for me. So here where I'm living right now, it's so cheap to have a trainer. So I say, I get a trainer, and I told him, like, you need to be military with me and not let me distract myself, because I telling you, I detest doing that, but I know it's good for myself. So I need you to force me to be like, do your exercise. So you can rely on others, and you're paying someone to basically kick you in the ass to do the thing that you promised. If this is the only way you will do what you say you're gonna do, then by all means.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, to what you just said, and it slightly maybe somewhat confirm it. You strike me as someone that's willing to fight for what they believe. How would you describe what the pinnacle of your vision looks like at the height of your vision? That it, when I say vision, I just mean in terms of this journey, that journey that you're on, what does greatness look like for you on this journey?
Well, when I close my eyes, I always see like a huge, like I'm on a huge stage with a lot of musicians, and there's thousands and thousands of people in the audience, and I'm singing and they are singing along with me, and it's just a great, great moment. That's how it feels like. That's what I can see in my mind.
And do you believe, is there a certain standard in terms of like lifestyle and everything that's going on around you, or is just that's just something that is just like an indicator for where that's you like, are?
Yeah, that's like an image that that's like a recurrent image that I have always when I think about my music, my goals, etc. So in terms of lifestyle, a lot of traveling, a lot of events, working with other people, being in the studio. I love being in the studio recording with a producer, because it's like the producer has already everything set up, and you just worry about singing and creating and expressing. Like when I'm recording myself, I am the producer, I am the engineer, I am the artist, I am everything. And so that switching, like, it's possible, it's easy for me because I'm very adaptable, but it takes up a lot of energy to be all. And sometimes, and since I'm learning to use the Logic and all those things still, like I focus more on writing music, and now it's like I have to learn to produce this music. So obviously when you start at something, you always suck. So I always having a problem that forces me to stop and to be breaking all that creative momentum every time. And I know that's normal, it's temporary, but it pisses me off every time. And obviously it takes you up more energy, more time, and you just have That's also some other thing that why sometimes people quit. No one simply told them that that phase is absolutely normal. Everyone goes through that, and you will have it in every single thing that you try to undergo. And so you get there, you think it's gonna be like that forever, and then you quit. Yeah. And it's important that nobody told us this at the school, obviously. And it's like, it's temporary. Just go through it. Stay in there as long as if you stay there long enough, you will be okay, and you will be fine until there is a new challenge that is gonna go. It's gonna be harder than the previous one, and you will be again in that anxiety, in that situation. But we shouldn't try to avoid that. We should just embrace it, because that's the only way we grow. It's like diamonds exist because other rocks put a lot of pressure during a lot of time for that diamond to reveal itself. So why are the difference between us and the diamonds is that we have, for better or for worse, this free will to decide, are we gonna become diamonds, or are we gonna stay carbon the rest of our lives?
Absolutely.
And carbon is useful too. So there's nothing, there's no good or bad decision. It's just an invitation.
And you know, and to add to that, I would say the difference between us and a diamond is that we can take break in terms of like to take a break outside the pressure. But you know, I'm a big advocate for, especially to what you're speaking about, which is pretty much, I would say, is part of that whole mindset to lead you to success, I would say. And of course, you know, like any other people, successful people, they have setbacks, they have questions, they have quiz issues that they have to sort out. And the only difference is that they figure it out. But to the degree that we're speaking about, fortunately for us, if you're creative, that's pretty much almost the nucleus of your being, because by nature, you're supposed to be a problem solver. I mean, that's what being a creative is about. You just come up with ideas, don't you? Hence why I would say it's next to entrepreneurship. But you know, obviously, if you veer off to that degree, it's almost like, okay, now you're an artist / business person, and that's a different kettle of worm to itself. Do you get what I mean? Because most creatives or artists, I would imagine, they just want to be, they just want to create, not necessarily, you know, trying to be a business person. But although, from just speaking to you now, I would imagine you've got quite a decent business acumen yourself. You understand, and you push your product or your artistry, your art out there. You do a lot of the work yourself, don't you?
Yeah, so I think it's a mistake and it's dangerous for an artist, especially a musician, and also actors. I think they might have the same problem, but especially for musicians, I think it's not correct to see business and creativity as two different things, and it's also dangerous. First, it's not correct because in business, as you said, it's about solving problems. It's about being creative. It's just another type of creativity. And it is a mistake that limits so many people to think that for being creative, they have to paint or do music or something in that line.
Yeah.
Whereas no, creative is just, creating is manifesting something that was an idea, an intangible idea, and then you make it a reality. That's creativity. And we do it all the time. When you, for example, tell to your children, like, oh, you are so, I don't know, just tell someone, oh, you are so stupid. and all the time telling them you are manifesting that, and
you're manifesting that. You're right.
And you are reinforcing that possibility, because we are, if when we are asking ourselves, who am I? I think that's the most important question. One will say, oh, I'm Catherine. No, that's your name. I am a musician. No, that's your job. Who are you? And so you go taking out onion layers, and then there's nothing, because you can actually, the onion you take on layers, and then you have completely undone the onion. So that means that when you arrive to the present and you say, then I'm nothing. And that's exactly the right answer, because there has to be nothing so for everything to exist. The moment you say you are something, you are canceling all the other possibilities. Yeah. That's why labels are so dangerous. Oh, I'm an artist and I need to create and I don't need to worry about marketing. Marketing is very creative. And if you don't worry about marketing, you are going to be outpassed by someone who does worry about marketing and knows how important it is. And maybe he's not as good as you, but he's putting in the work to show what he does to the world.
Yeah.
And so it's not, or people who are like, but I have ADHD. Yeah, okay, but are you really, like, all the whole universe of who you are can really fit into that ADHD thing? Yeah. That doesn't mean I think I might have it. Like, when I talk to people who are diagnosed, and for when I review my life, and when my mom tells me how I was when I was a child, I am like, I am 99.999% sure I have that. Yet it doesn't matter, because the right, it's not only that, it's that first of all, whether you have it or not, you want to find the things that work for you, because the right question is, okay, how do I win? I'm an introvert, how do I win? So it doesn't affect you. If you ask yourself the right question, how do I win the game of life?
Yeah.
Whether you are an introvert or not, doesn't matter. Whether you have ADHD or not, doesn't matter. So how do I win? Yes, I am an artist and I love creating, and I would love to just be creating things in between my four walls, but how do I win? And how do I win is having a business mindset. So that comes in why it's dangerous not having that, is because we have something called labels who are totally into the business, maybe too much into the business, especially nowadays. They exploit the artists are their slaves. And if you don't have the knowledge on how the industry works, it's very easy for them to basically scam you and convert you into a slave that creates money for them, and you have absolutely no control, and you even lose control of your art, which is the very thing that you wanted to do. Absolutely. Right?
Absolutely.
So basically the skills you don't have costs you money and freedom on the long run. So that's why, especially while you're young, what skills do you need in the industry you are to win? Learn all of them, even the ones you hate. Like, I used to hate marketing. I used to see it as something not creative, even manipulative. And when I changed my vision about that, and I said, no, actually, this is another excuse to create and to transform each piece of branding, promotion, whatever, into more art and more creativity. Why not using that way? And so it becomes less daunting as well.
Yeah. It is something that I notice about you, and it just keeps rearing its head. I think you, but it's a great thing, because it seems like you take accountability constantly. And, you know, I think it's a big thing when it comes to, again, being successful, or just like not repeating history time and time again. So, I commend you.
Accountability is super important, especially for creatives, because we are like, go with the flow. And it's like, it took me a while to understand flow doesn't, even though when you are in the flow state,
yes,
feels like flow, obviously, like everything is coming, but getting in the flow needs training, needs work, commitment, and accountability, as you say. For example, talking about relying on others, especially the days where I feel unfocused, there is a program called Focus Blocks that I really love, and it's like a subscription where they have time slots for work with a structure where you decide what are you going to work in that hour, and then you stretch a little bit, you do a little bit of breathing, then you start working nonstop on only that task without distractions, and then at the end you have a couple minutes to share with other people, and you are on a Zoom call and you have to be with the camera on. So to feel that pressure of people are watching me, so you are using the spotlight fallacy on your favor. So for those of you who don't know what the spotlight fallacy is when you feel you do something stupid in a public area and you feel everyone is watching you, everyone has seen that horrible thing you did, and it's just your brain, probably no one saw it, but So you use that on your favor, like everybody's watching me and I have to work because I said on the chat that I was gonna do that. So you use that. And if there is someone listening to this podcast that is really struggling to get things done, I would recommend Focus Block, because also every week you have a workshop that is the weekly review, and you review your last week, you set your goals for that week, you put a calendar with all the things you're gonna do each day to get to that goal of the week, and then you have your goal for the quarter and for the year, and they also do a yearly workshop for really setting yourself for success in the year.
Well, you know what it is, it's refreshing to hear you speak, because I could tell you've I don't know what it is about people that, you know, they're so in tuned and they lead themselves, even if they have somebody like a mentor, but I could tell that you've really done your homework and you know exactly what is necessary to keep yourself in a right in your lane and keep progressing. It's very positive to hear. We don't have a lot of time, but I just want to give you the last, maybe we've got like 30 seconds or to a minute. Do you want to share anything with my audience before you go?
Well, I would say thank you very much for having me, Aaron, and to your audience for listening to this episode of yours. Thank you so much for the poem as well. And if you'd like to find out more about me, I am on social media as Catherine Gerard. So C-A-T-H-E-R-I-N-E. And the last name is G-A-I-R-A-R-D. And it's the same for YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, etc. So.
Okay, that's great. And I'll be leaving a link underneath the bio about this episode, just to share where they can find you if they want to know more about what you're doing. Catherine, it's been great having you on. Thanks so much for coming and sharing some of your time with me. It's a great conversation. Maybe in the summer, it would be great to have you on again, and we can kind of maybe catch up and some of the accomplishments and things that you're going to do, you know? Positive.
Thank you. Absolutely. For sure. All right.
Until next time. Take care.
Mind over matter. Overcompensating. Overstatements. Crookedness related. The soul's churn in return. Mental overstimulation. One word. Riveting. It tears my pilot. Streams that are promised to make seeking less.